Welcome to FYI, the four-year innovation podcast. This show offers an intellectual discussion on technologically enabled disruption, because investing in innovation starts with understanding it. To learn more, visit arc-invest.com.
ARK Invest is a registered investment advisor focused on investing in disruptive innovation. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. It does not constitute either explicitly or implicitly any provision of services or products by ARK. All statements made regarding companies or securities are strictly beliefs and points of view held by ARK or podcast guests and are not endorsements or recommendations by ARK to buy, sell, or hold any security. Clients of ARK Investment Management may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast.
Welcome to this episode of ARK's FYI for your innovation. I am so delighted and honored to have two guests today. You would never have expected me to have this kind of, entrepreneur, athlete for our podcast, but they are doing important things in our world. They already have, and they are now, and we're going to be working together with them in the future to do even more. So I would like to introduce yourselves, Andre Iguodala and Evan Turner, and to talk a little bit, just open it up where we know now that you're into venture capital, but your journey to here from there has been, both of your journeys have been extraordinary. So we'd love to hear a bit about the journey and how it got you to venture capital.
Well, Evan's a much better storyteller than I am, so I'm gonna go first. I think we both have an intellectual curiosity to us from a very young age. And it's interesting how we became teammates in Philadelphia and having to maneuver around that environment and the sentiments of being a professional athlete, the perception that's placed on you depending upon your performance, and how it started off as like a small riff because we were in similar positions. Mm. You know, we're fighting for the same minutes, which is the same stats, which...
Trying to be unreasonable and very arrogant.
But it could equate to the same, you know, we're fighting for the same salary.
Yeah.
You know, there's a salary cap and there's only so much of a threshold you can take up, and how to turn into an everlasting friendship. And I think that speaks to who we both are. Yeah. and how we both think. And it's hearing his youth and how he grew up and then myself. It was just a lot of curiosity. And the second sons of our fathers within the family.
You know, the favorite sons.
The favorite sons as well. The favorite sons as well.
Yeah. I had like 80 kids, but the favorite son. The favorite son.
But Robert Smith has a second son theory, yeah. And we fit that mold. We look up to Robert Smith and what he's done for our community. Coming in as professional athletes, there's a lot of stigmas, stereotypes, and then being so young, 20, 21 years old, mm-hmm. you're trying to find yourself.
Yeah.
Most kids are in college. They're finding themselves. They're able to make mistakes. You know, then they're able to, you know, sleep late and, you know, their mistakes and their traumas won't come back to haunt them.
Right.
But as professional athletes, you're thrown in that fire pretty fast and mm-hmm. you're trying to figure out who you are. And you're trying to, every day you wake up a different person not realizing it. Mm-hmm. And you're constantly changing. And so one day you want to be this person. Next day you want to be this person. And so you're constantly evolving. And I think for us, we were always searching for the best version of ourselves. And you hear the horror stories about athletes who mismanage their funds. And it's not necessarily the athlete mismanaging mm-hmm. their funds. It's the folks who are actually managing
exactly.
the funds.
Exactly.
And coming from our communities, if you've never seen a bank, you've never seen a branch, you've never seen a checkbook.
All right, it's just a blessing if you make rent. So forget all the other stuff. It's like make rent. We came from a community where I just made rent. We didn't pay, cut the phone off. But it's like how far behind the eight ball you started.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And when you come from that background, how can you expect them to make the right decisions on identifying an individual who's qualified to manage their funds.
Yeah. Right.
You've never been able to identify that in your life. You know, why when you get the money, are you just all of a sudden you have the wherewithal to go select that individual? It's impossible.
Right.
You know, and it speaks to what you're doing and how you're giving those who've never had access to markets access. Mm-hmm. Similar sentiments. And so for us, we were always curious and saying, okay, how can we not end up in that place? And what we learned is we just go get information ourselves. I don't know where that's come from. It's something that's innate, a blessing. Mm-hmm. That's a blessing. I can't take credit for it. But I guess it's learning from my older brother's mistakes as well.
That definitely helped.
I dodged a lot of behind my butt whoopings. I dodged a lot because I saw the person in front of me getting whooped a lot.
Yeah.
And so you figure out how to get certain information. You get some street smarts. You're always identifying individuals who seem to have some knowledge of whatever area you're looking to learn from. And so I was always trying to surround myself by individuals who were, had a sense of financial literacy, who could help me build. And that's the long part of the story. Because from there, learn the public markets. Then you was like, what is private? What's this word private mean? Never heard this word before.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you just go down the rabbit hole. We spoke about the rabbit hole this morning.
Rabbit hole.
And I just went down a rabbit hole.
Once you're addicted,
yes.
Right? Once you're addicted.
Yes.
And before you give your answer, Evan, how did you get over that rift in the early days? What happened?
Oh, this is what happened. Yes. We never talk about this. This is the last time we ever played one-on-one. So we what did we do? It's like the last game, like we're about to play game 4 versus the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
The Heatles, LeBron, D-Wade, Chris Bosh. So that was like the first year. And I think we're like playing one-on-one in the gym, right?
Yeah.
So we're like, you talked about the Battle of Norman. Like we're going like back and forth, like going literally to war. But like, it's just a one-on-one. It's not no tension or whatever, but it's just like, no, you think you this good. I'm finna like, you know, like bust your ass. And my fault for cursing people, but we're going to do whatever. So when it came down to it, we're having a real battle where, you know, after you throw the blows, the respect came. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of just more so a dumbfounded thing. Like, man, the game was so much easier when we collabed.
After we battled. Yeah.
Collabed and worked together. And I think at that moment, we were kind of similar. Everybody that met us was like, you guys are the exact same person.
Yes.
And at one point, we just, ironically, we always had tons of respect for each other. But it was just like, nah, you the big dog, like, it's a respect. We understand where we're coming from, but, like, there's no reason, as much as you help me, where you're, an opposition. And I think one thing that's occurred that simplistically how I ended up here was you always learn that you're going to be as successful as your 5 closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you hang around bad people, bad things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. And in my life, when I hung around bad people, bad things happen. When I hang around people that are trying to strive for more, you end up in the right rooms and you end up, you know, in the rooms with, you know, people like yourself and in the right type of deals to set you up further along that somewhat make you look like a genius, but it's just making the right statement and keeping your ears open.
So there are two things that you said that really resonate in terms of venture, too. Your whole lives resonate. I mean, you're such American success stories, and even though this podcast is for our investors, it's really for everyone. Yeah. And we want young people to, take your example and run with the ball, so to speak. But doing your research, just figuring it out, that's doing original research. You depended on yourselves. You figure out you had street smarts, so you figure out who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And let me absorb as much as I can. Don't depend on someone else to do this. Mm-hmm. And as you say, that's how many have gotten into trouble. You know, they're approached by the wrong people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who are anxious to help them. But that's very interesting. And then Evan, you just said something. Yes, surrounding yourself, the network. I think in the venture world, what we've observed, and we did just start our own portfolio a little more than a year ago. As I've observed venture over the years, what I've seen is, you know, you want to get into the deals that the top VCs are in, because if you analyze VC returns, it's the top ones that are the best performing ones. Mm-hmm. But given what you just said, and this is what I mean by a similar DNA, what we're trying to do, of course, we want to become a part of that community. We are becoming a part of that community. And they're welcoming us, which I didn't expect, because we're trying to democratize their world. Mm-hmm. And but as it turns out, they definitely want a broader investor base because it helps them educate future investors about these companies, and it helps the companies, because we use our social media, mm-hmm. attract more talent when we talk about what they're doing. So what we're doing is leading with research, and we go to the founders of the companies and we say, we think you're in the sweet spot of where the world's going. And I sense you do that too, mm-hmm. To a large extent, given your interests and where you focus the firm. And then, especially when we were teeny tiny and could only dole out $100,000 at a time, we would go to the founder and say, you know, let us show you our research. And the odds are very high that founder has already found our research and is using it in his own decks to tell the story about his company, which is great.
That's kind of similar to, you know, lobbying to try to be a go-to or like move up in a position, you know, in the NBA. It's like, nah, coach, let me show you I can end the game. Let me show I can guard this person. Mm-hmm. Let me show you I can hit the three.
Yeah.
So, you know, you won't know unless you, you know, jump off the porch and really lobby.
Right.
That's right. And then the founders introduce us to the VCs, the lead VC. And, you know, we've done very well that way in terms of access. And I know because of your standing in your communities, you're getting also access in a way. You know, people admire what you're doing and the way you're going about doing it. So definitely see a lot of common DNA there. You've been through all kinds of challenges, mm-hmm. And certainly starting in life to begin with, but then on the courts, what have the challenges been like in the venture world, and have you pulled from your life and the court, you know, to try and conquer those challenges?
You know, I think there's so many parallels. I think one that comes to mind immediately is, you know, perception. And so as an athlete, going into other spaces, there's uncertainty and there's doubt. And, you know, individuals looking at you as if, what are you doing here? And so I hear so often, oh, wow, okay, so you read this. Okay, you followed this. Okay, I see you here. And just understanding how companies work and being able to apply that to, you know, a thesis that I may put together. Mm-hmm. Or even in this role that I'm in as executive director, I'm actually going through budgets, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm actually picking them apart a little bit. And I surprised myself because I've been on the tech side and I've seen, well, you know, they're putting perspectives together over the next 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I know they're educated guesses, but if they don't hit their marks every year, the funding stops, mm-hmm. you know. So I'm seeing how you stretch your dollar, you know. So when I go into a reorganization or a restructure, I can say, okay, this needs to be moved here, this needs to be moved there. But going back to the parallels, I wasn't a three-point shooter early in my career. And I was told, you know, that's not what you do. You know, you just spoke about jumping off the porch. It's like, mm-hmm. you're not a three-point shooter, so stay away from it. And it's like, no, I'm going to continue to work on this until I get good at it. And it's the same vein where someone say, I may not think I'm a good investor because I'm an athlete. I just had to prove them. I just mm-hmm. had to prove them wrong. And so I did internships mm-hmm. where I worked for free. You know,
yes.
Big like Jeff Jordan, huge fan of Jeff Jordan. You know, they call him the godfather of marketplaces.
Yeah.
And he showed me the ropes. You know, I followed him in the rooms of the boards that he sits on. You know, he's a big investor in Instacart. He's a big investor in Airbnb. You know, mm-hmm. he sits on the board of both of those companies. And then I went to Morgan Stanley, where they underwrite on the enterprise side. So I learned the whole enterprise business, you know, and they were involved in a board I sat on, Jumia, e-commerce platform. It's like the Alibaba version of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And so just learning the ins and outs of, you know, how the business is working, the margins, you know, what should the margins be depending on the sector?
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking for depending on which part of tech that you're investing in? You know, mm-hmm. e-commerce is totally different than enterprise, which is totally different than healthcare. And you're looking at all those metrics in different ways. So, you know, watching CNBC every day, watching Bloomberg every day. I always tell young people, if you want to learn something, you got to digest it as much as you can. Mm-hmm. So my brother, who's older than me, who's a finance major, one day I said to him, watch Bloomberg. Just keep watching. And the first day he said, I don't have a clue of what was said today. Didn't understand 30% of the words. I only understood 30% of the words. And I'll never forget, like a year later, we were speaking and he was like, oh, I'm watching Bloomberg. And I'm like, oh, you watch Bloomberg? He was like, yeah, this is the greatest show of all time.
Yeah. I mean, same thing happened with me when he told me, just turn on Bloomberg. I was just turning on in like the background. And now it's like, I'm like, bro, I'm never, ever, ever. I don't think I'll ever relate. And eventually you start picking up because anything can be learned.
And you know what's about to happen next. Yeah. And I think that's what I learned what venture capital was, you know, understanding where we're going and helping build what's to come next. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think we misinform at times, or we overthink at times, or we get selfish at times. But DEI is truly making sure that everyone's involved in the process of building something so we all have the proper perspectives and who we're serving, which is we're serving everybody.
Mm-hmm. And you're playing a big role in financial literacy when it comes to players as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
No, we can talk about that all day. Yeah, for sure. I think the main thing is understanding, I read Warren Buffett, one of the books that kind of changed my life and gave me some great perspective, The Snowball Effect. And I know Warren didn't finish the book, but he was a part of the process for the first half, 60-70%. Mm-hmm. But when you get that, you know, imposter syndrome, because you're not as familiar or you're not comfortable with your familiarity within something. Mm-hmm. But when I learned from the book was, you know, his uncle was an investor. His uncle, you know, invested in the stock market. You know, he would read Standard & Poor's list of stocks and he would memorize them. You know, he would go to the golf course and go to the driving range. And the balls that were here over the fence, him and his buddies would go in the water or by the lake or whatever, yeah, or hit over the net. They would go collect balls. And they would sell them back to the folks who needed balls to hit on the range.
Yeah.
And then he would collect stamps. And so he was a collector of things.
Yeah.
And all he did was just put his 10,000 hours in. Uh-huh. And that's when it clicked. Like, you and I were dribbling the ball all day, or we were shooting.
Uh-huh.
His craft was something different than our craft, but we just put the same effort and energy into it. And so initially I would be frightened of the expertise of Warren Buffett because I think I would never be able to gain the knowledge he has. But then when I equated to what I was doing, we were doing the same thing. Oh, if I put that much time and energy into something, I can gather it too. And so that gave me confidence to be like, no, you're just taking your energy and you're putting it somewhere else.
Yeah, you just want to chop wood and carry water. And I think one thing when you cross over, as long as you're not, he needs a new hip. As long as you're not tearing a knee up, breaking a leg, or like getting illegal screened by a 300-pound, 7-foot man, like I think sometimes sitting down and learning might be less intense on the body.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think one thing that occurs, you look at an athlete and you look at Dre, to go to the NBA, it's like 0.3% on the world make it. Like, it's only ever been 5,000 NBA players. Then you kind of make it a little bit smaller, like the future Hall of Famers, the Olympians, the champions, that's even tougher.
Yeah.
I think like your past and your history really gives you confidence to really do anything. And I think sometimes it's all about just remaining patient and comprehending. It took us 15 years to make it to the NBA. You know what I mean? And you're super calm and you know, super patient with yourself to get that crossover dribble, to get that pull up, to go get that dunk. And a lot of times you hear a lot of people, and Isaiah Thomas said it, don't ever let anybody downplay your success or what you've been through, because if you correlate it, you worked your way into certain rooms and certain impossibilities that anything could be possible if you put your mind to it. Mm-hmm. So I think whatever occurs or whatever new task that occurs, I already took the highest hurdle when I, you know, committed to myself to go after my dreams.
Yeah.
And it just shows me once again, I can do it repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. And I always just tell people, if you won once, you can win twice.
Yeah.
Only person that's telling you can't do it again is the people that are scared of you.
Yeah. It's
You know what I mean? It's just like, nah, it's like the alchemist. Like, the second they laugh at you, this is the second I know where I'm supposed to be at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting in terms of what ARC's experience has been, you know, and I note that your venture firm, Mosaic, the tagline here, founders of tomorrow who refuse to fit in.
And that's hard.
Pardon?
I said that's a great mission statement.
Yeah, it is. But again, doing things differently, many people take a lot of comfort from, oh, this is the way they've done this in the past. But what you did, well, first of all, they were telling you not even to try, which is crazy.
Right.
It's crazy. Right. But second, you found your way. There was your technique. You developed it in a way they just didn't expect, mm-hmm. right? ARC, the same thing. We're doing something different. And, you know, most people don't think it's going to work. We of course believe it is, you know, we have our return expectation for the underlying technologies out there, which is very strong during the next 5 to 10 years. But the way the financial world is working right now, you know, there's so much quantitative research, computing power going into it, that the brain power to put the puzzle together, we're in a puzzle, putting the pieces together, mm-hmm. is probably going to beat that longer term. But most people don't think that's true in our business. Most people do not. So very interesting analogy there. But who refuse to fit in. And it's because you believe you're doing it the right way mm-hmm. and that everyone will follow you, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. is how we're thinking about mm-hmm. the world as well. Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we get caught up in control based on, you know, historically having things the way we would like them to be.
Mm-hmm.
But also understanding that we're fighting change, which mm-hmm. is fighting innovation.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished The Crown.
Mm-hmm.
The Crown gave me so many life lessons. Like, I only try to consume things where I can learn, like historical facts.
Yes.
But there were so many gems and conversations between the, you know, understanding what they thought of The Crown.
Yes.
Like, this is something we attain to a high standard, a high level. And yes, there's a lot of excess there, but mm-hmm. the ideology of it from the family and how do you protect it, there's a sense that we all should have that within ourselves. Like, we all hold ourselves to a mm-hmm. higher standard. Mm-hmm. You know, we will never bring ourselves down to any lower level. You know, mm-hmm. like, this is, we must protect our vision, our ideologies, and like our communities and those things. And so you just apply it in different ways, but they didn't want to change.
Yeah.
Which ultimately can become your demise.
Yes. Well, and you're embracing innovation, mm-hmm. which is change.
Right.
Which is interesting, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And some communities just have a very difficult time doing it. It wasn't done this way before, so it's not going to be done this way in the future. Well, you know, I think that's why we're having so much fun together. But education generally, I know you're very interested, not mm-hmm. just in financial literacy for the players, but also for young people, as well as introducing them to life's lessons. And hey, you know, I always say, if you get on the right side of change, your life is going to be quite enjoyable. And so maybe you can talk a little bit about that as well.
Well, I think we share very similar sentiments on education and how systematically processes have been put in place, you know, to keep certain groups from reaching their full potential. And I think we can, you know, we can debate on why that is, but it is what it is. And so for us, we do have this... it's deeply embedded in us to try to go back to our communities and stress the importance of what we're consuming. You know, obviously, no matter what economic situation you come from, everyone has a cell phone. Mm-hmm. Everyone's consuming mm-hmm. content. And you talk about AI, and you talk about algorithms, and you talk about what's being pushed out to certain demographics, it gets a little scary.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we never want to go, we try to stay away from propaganda or conspiracy. But it's something to be said about, like, you know, what type of music is being pushed out, you know, what type of businesses are being built within communities where, you know, we grew up, a liquor store was on every corner, food deserts, you don't have healthy foods, mm-hmm. you know, how can you change for that? You know, a company like Bowery Farms, I'm not an investor, but, you know, they're building their headquarters and their hubs around food deserts, you mm-hmm. know, like Baltimore or mm-hmm. certain places in New York. And so they're growing, like, actually natural, clean, healthy food, and it's not like they have to go far to distribute it to those who don't. and then access of it. And it's another company that I am actually I'm in the middle of doing my due diligence on, and there's a payment process through the EBT SNAP cards. I didn't know Whole Foods. You can use EBT SNAP cards at Whole Foods.
Shout out Whole Foods.
Right.
No, that's a big deal, yeah. Bro. That's a very, because they only work at corner stores and save a lot. So when you break that down, like we say with the inner city, a lot of times we get left off from the usual. So you might have been using T-Mobile, Verizon Wireless, and we got something that don't work out the city limits. Like, and when you sit there and you're like, oh, shout out Whole Foods, it's like, no, they're allowing us to leave where we're coming from. You got a Whole Foods up there. That's a gentrified area into a certain spot. So it may not seem like much, but those invisible lines are kind of being shedded in that sense. That's a big deal.
And I'm learning about, I think America spends about, it's about $1 trillion a year goes into the dollar on government assistance.
Yeah.
And not just food, but you talk about, you know, transportation. You know, you talk about FSA, HSA, you know, healthcare, all those things. It's trending towards like $1 trillion a year in government assistance. And for it to be, that's essentially the blockchain. Making sure the money is being used the right way, accountability, absolutely, efficiency, all those things. But they don't like it when we speak on those things.
I wonder why. I wonder why.
Right. But that's the education piece of it.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
just learning these different things. And then when you give it to those, you give it to the have-nots and they start understanding it, now innovation starts coming out of those communities. And it's all the train. It's a chain effect.
Yeah. It's just like the simple conversation, like, if you knew better, you do better. And sometimes you view the Robin Hood situation, like, I'll leave here and go tell all my brothers. Like, sometimes you sit down and be like, yo, I'm not trying to stunt on you and, like, harp on you or try to lecture you. Like, how else are you getting this convo? I had to dribble a ball for 20 years to get behind these doors and get this information. Like, how else are you going to get this? And you sit there, it's like, no, we should be having these normal convos. Like, we're years and generations behind. I grew up in a spot that rented for $600 a month. My mom last November was talking about how we're going to sell her crib for $650. Like, when you talk about those basic combos that mean, like, nothing, but the mandatory minimums really set you ahead. And I think when you start talking, the mandatory minimums really set you ahead. And when you start talking about, like, just the learning process, I tell people, like, bro, I speak so normal and so down to earth because I comprehend that, like, life is simple and I'm going to go out and get it. So when you sit there, it's like, no, I'm going to go out and get it. If you smart, you're going to go out and get it. Let's just go get it and stay with the people that matter and are going to push you forward. I only had four friends growing up. One dude's an FBI agent that went to Notre Dame. Another kid's helping in, you know what I mean, the youth and things like that. But I knew the reason why I ended up here was because I made those decisions to be around the right people.
Absolutely.
And it's like just something as simple as that. And I think that's, you know, where we really preach. And it's not like we're going back telling people or setting seminars. It's just real conversations.
So what's interesting, and I just wonder if you've ever thought about this, we're talking a lot about the creator economy at ARC, just that, and how people with brands like yours, and I realize you're in the venture space, so you're looking for people like this, but you are so influential in your communities. It'd be interesting to know if some of your friends are, you know, who are also maybe the basketball players and so forth, are taking their brands and scaling them through e-commerce, through companies like Shopify. It's becoming so much easier to do that now. Shopify, Square, if you're a merchant, they give you lots of tools. Anything like that going on in your communities? Or
for sure. And you even talk about I'll buy now, pay later.
It's become a
major game changer. And as an athlete, you know, I've taken one of his least favorite actors in the world are middlemen.
The middleman, like the person that'd be like, "Oh, you want some shoes? Cool. It's $120. Now you owe me $320. I'm a businessman.
Oh, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Got it. Now I'm a client.
You're like, bro, call me the wrong word again.
I think the creator economy and influencers have figured out how to go straight to the brand.
Exactly.
And so you don't need that middleman anymore. And that, Elon Musk just did it.
Yeah, and that makes
you don't need a dealership.
Yeah, that's right.
And that makes you official. Like, once you said the difference between, like, for our, like, our environment, like, the kids that are influencers, like, the next step is to comprehend the scaling.
Yes.
And going from being, like, a worker to being like, yo, this ain't hard. How do I put this out? How do I go to manufacturer and really make myself a boss, not a they rode my way for 2 months and then finesse me from there.
You talk about a Dapper Dan and what he did for, you know, our community is a lot of CPG brands, you know, or fashion. And how we've always had to, we've never been able to own our assets. We've never been able to own our IP. We've always had to lease it out. And I think the creator economy and this, you know, social influence and how impactful it is has allowed us to go straight to our consumer, direct to consumer.
Especially because a lot of status and social capital is now online. Digital assets is going to explode the opportunity you're talking about. And just in terms of middlemen, we did a study. It was in Big Ideas. We did it both this year and last year. If you look at the number of middlemen in terms of a transaction, completely a consumer to a merchant, there are 7 toll takers. And so
you're trained to become a middleman after a while. You're like, strength, you're like, bro, everybody.
No, but technology is going to strip that out. Blockchain technology, peer-to-peer.
Yes,
peer-to-peer. It gets rid of that. And so, yes, a lot of people are aiming for the middleman, that business basically becoming either someone else's profit, like one person, one instead of 7, enabling a transaction, or just ending up in the pockets of the merchant and the consumer. You know, you're just both better off for it. So
we just invested in a company. We had to vote Monday, and it went through. We're going to invest in a company and on the construction side with slabs, plumbing, just building up single family housing.
Yeah.
And there's so many middlemen there.
Oh, yeah.
And, but there's never been a one-stop shop. Shopify version of it, and you know, AI, and you talk about Apple Vision Pro. It's an amazing experience. I just did the demo, but now you can, you know, you can build your home through this AR space now and put things together, and then you can see what's available. You know the timing of it. You can work with your builder in terms of when's it coming in. Like, the whole system of it has been so fragmented, and now it's going to be a seamless, just a seamless situation to where, you know, you got the timing right, which is a tough thing. You're going to get the pricing comes down because you're not dealing with 3 or 4 different people.
Now, you can be the guy at the bar bragging, talking about how you're making all these big moves.
right. Because once you see how you see the market cap of a Home Depot, you see the market cap of a Lowe's, and now you're able to quantify, you know, what's the valuation of a startup or what it could potentially be if you scale it the right way.
Yeah. Very exciting, very exciting. We'll open up opportunities for people who never knew they were going to be business people. And what's also interesting, I heard Mark Benioff from Salesforce.com and Jack Dorsey of Blocks, where both of them in the same quarter, this was probably 4 or 5 years ago, they said, there's not going to be much difference between consumers and businesses as we move into the digital world. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just get people thinking about that a bit. Mm-hmm. They were thinking about it, but this is what we're talking about right now, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So maybe the last question here is if, and it can be to anyone, not just an athlete, but given all the lessons, all you've had to overcome to get to where you are, what would be the most important, most important advice to a person, a young person who's, well, let's just say they have gone through college or through high school and have a good idea. What, given the companies you've looked at, what would you tell them they should do to increase their odds of success? I think we've talked about some of this, but maybe we could summarize it now.
I think what I've seen is, you know, the really good entrepreneurs are those that have become more successful. They're willing to sacrifice some time. When I say sacrifice some time, You know, one guy, he ran a certain product at Instacart, and he tested this at Instacart. Brett Taylor is a perfect example.
Mm-hmm. Brett Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Brett Taylor is like 5 for 5 on Decacorns, yeah. Right? So he had the like button on Facebook was Brett Taylor. Google Maps was Brett Taylor. He was CEO, co-CEO of Salesforce, yes. With Mark Benioff. Yes. And then now he's got his new AI company. Are you aware of it?
I am aware of it. I've forgotten the name, but yes.
Safari.
Again, this is talent. Pardon?
Safari, right? Is it Safari?
No, that's...
It's not Safari.
That's what's on the cell phones, Dre.
It starts with an S.
Saturday Night Live. No, Saffron.
This is a good follow the talent example.
but what I'm saying is, if you're young or you're out of college, you're looking to go somewhere, I'm saying sacrifice some talent and go Sierra. Sierra's the name.
Yeah.
You go somewhere that's had proven success, and maybe you lease out your IP. It's just a small portion of it. And you go test it somewhere, and you see what they're doing right, and you gain some expertise, and you learn systems to put into practice. Mm-hmm. And you learn other experts or other geniuses, and you learn how they became who they became, because you always talk about history. Like, go learn some history, and then go somewhere that's had a proven track record. And then you get a lay of the land. Maybe you give them a little bit of some of your knowledge, and you help them build something that turns out to be great that you may not get the return that, you know, Elon Musk should have gotten for what he did. But once you've learned that, now you're able to, now you build that confidence, like, okay, I see how it works. I'm ready to go out and venture on my own. You see that most of the time. I mean, you did it. You know,
yes,
you
I did somewhere. It. And actually, my son did it. He went to IBM. And now, at the time, I said, this is not an innovative company, Robert. But he went sensibly. I mean, he's an athlete, more football. But he said, no. I need to know how they're doing what they're doing. The systems is more. Mm-hmm. He's a systems engineer now at an AI startup and learned a lot. Just took 2 years, learned a lot, and brought it to this company. So that's a really important piece of advice, I think. Yes.
No, I'm interested in Evan's take. Evan has some amazing – he's always Evan.
No, my take is in depth. My stuff is just like – simple and
but some, I think you could speak to a broader group.
No, I'm just really big on just like how you collab and how you work. Obviously, you have to really, you know, be obsessed with what you believe in and what you start up. Mm-hmm. I think that's the number one thing. Like, you put that into the universe and what you believe. If you don't believe in it, I don't think it's going to go far. Mm-hmm. I think obviously you have to, you know, like Dre said, sacrifice. And, you know, anytime I do something, one of my mentors always said, you have to learn from the basics with the guy the door is doing all the way to the end. Mm-hmm. So you know exactly where you're going to be at. And then I think, like, just the last thing is finding the right people that are about the bigger goal. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that occurs is everybody's not going in the same direction. It's going to, you know, heed your progression and, you know, heed the, you know, kind of heed the results of it all. So,
and I seem to have, I'm sorry, I seem to have a Jay-Z line for it. Every pod or anytime you speak, don't go with the flow. Be the flow.
Be the flow.
Yeah,
and
like that's why. Yeah, I'm kind of my own person. So when I sit here and I relate to you, I'm super excited about this interview when we were writing it up and stuff. I'm like, no, forget. I had like 4 questions. I'm like, no, forget it. She's way in tune and way deeper. But I believe in, you know, sometimes march to the beat of your own drum and. Mm-hmm. Just when, like I said, when people laugh at what you think, that's how I know I'm on the right path.
Yeah.
And the best part is being like, I'm going to show you in the end and I'm going to have the biggest smile on my face and celebrate.
Celebrate. Well, one thing that's clear, and I agree with you completely, is people. We talk about technology all the time, and technology is a great enabler. But the quality of the people, the motivation of the people, the aspirations of people, you know, I think many people want to take people out of the equation in investing. Certainly in the public world they have with all the quant research and the computers and the high-frequency trading and the algorithms and so forth. But at the end of the day, it is the people who make all the difference. And isn't that interesting? We're both involved in innovation, and yet we come back to the people.
Yeah, for sure. And people scream out, and the individual people, not the index or analytics of it, but the actual people and what's inside of them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not saying, well, technically, he's going to flame out in 3 years. Like, no, I know this dude. He's going to go to the top, and he's always won.
Yeah. Be the flow.
Be the flow.
Be the flow. Yes. Love it. I think that's a good place to end this. Yes. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
This was really fun.
Yes, ma'am.
ARC believes that the information presented is accurate and was obtained from sources that ARC believes to be reliable. However, ARC does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of any information, and such information may be subject to change without notice from ARC. Historical results are not indications of future results. Certain of the statements contained in this podcast may be statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements that are based on ARC's current views and assumptions, and involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statements.